This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 19, 2017. The 23rd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. May the word of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I know all of you who attend here are sharp, and I know that when I read that for the beginning of the homily, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, I know that everyone, that wasn't part of the reading for the day. Yes and no. It is the last verse of the gospel from last week, verse 13 of the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Today, verse 14 starts out. I always point out that when we read Scripture, we have to understand that we are the ones who have recently, very, very recently, put in these chapter numbers and verse numbers, make it easier for us to guide our way through the Scriptures. That's not how the Scriptures were written. That's not how our Lord Jesus Christ talked to people. Our Lord ended something that he was saying with, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day." And that was the parable of the virgins. Five wise and five foolish. And he says, watch. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes things very simple for us. He wants us to be, contrary to popular belief, he wants to make our salvation as easy as possible. And when he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when I'm going to come back, when you will be judged according to your works, I'm telling you, watch. I won't even leave it up to you to figure out what that is. Watching for us is not sitting on our hands, gazing up into the heavens, waiting for our Savior to come back. The apostles tried that, and the angel said, why are you doing that? He's going to come back just like you saw him go up. Now, I'm paraphrasing, go about your business, okay? The business of bearing fruit for our Lord, advancing his kingdom in this world. When he says, watch therefore, he even gives us the hows. How do you do this? How do you watch? How do you prepare for this coming that you don't know when it's going to happen? He tells us he even makes it this simple. I'm not going to give you some ethereal and complicated theological treatise to deal with. Let me give you a story. Let me give you a story about three guys. This story about three guys is not about three guys way back in the day. It's for us right now, or it wouldn't be in Scripture. We have to understand that. It is for us to do some soul searching. And these three guys in the story are all Christians, to use our terminology. The parable is servants of the Master God, we the servants. His servants are expected to do for him. His servants are expected to work. His servants are expected to bear fruit for him. That's who we are. That is our mandate in this world. When we look at these servants, us, we got to come away with a couple things just foundationally. One, the only things that we have to work with in this world for the advance of the kingdom, to bear fruit for our master, are the things that he gives us. We don't come to the table with anything. Notice it, like the first guy. Well, he had two talents, but his master gave him three more, so he had five. No, his master gave him five. The one with two, he gave him two, the other guy got one. Everything that we get that we can use for fruit for the kingdom, we are given. We refer to those as graces, and it starts at our baptism. We're actually going to have a baptism after this Mass. And that is when we start being infused with the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. The young one, Jacob, will receive graces from God through the Holy Spirit that he does not have right at this moment. He will be changed ontologically into a child of God, from one who is at enmity with God to one who is a friend of God through the reconciliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will start to receive graces then. We nurture those graces through the other graces that our Lord gives us, the means of grace, the sacraments, sacramentals, prayer, preaching, the Word of God to be read and studied, the teachings of the church. All of those things are graces that we are given to use for his benefit. Hey, I think you're a pretty nifty guy. Here, let me give you some stuff. He gives everybody stuff, graces, and he expects a return. We don't hear about God presented. We love God presented to us as like the cosmic Santa Claus. He's just waiting up there to do things for us when we ask him for it, almost in a demanding statement. You know, or I'm going to leave the church because this isn't real because I didn't get what I wanted. All right? That's a presentation we like. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us a parable today that if God poses a question, what have you done for me lately? We don't like to hear about that aspect of God, that he expects something of us, but he does. He expects a return for what he has given you freely. He gives us in accord, as it says in the gospel, with our abilities. He knows your frame. Some people, there are different parts of the body. Some people are wicked smart. So what do? They go to school. You know, they can use their learning and their knowledge and everything to get a really cool job in this world. And that's all well and good. You're also supposed to use those smarts for the advance of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in doing what you do in your vocation and in the church. Some people work really well with their hands. Okay? Hey, use that to make money. That's all well and good. That's what it's there for. But guess what? You should also use those talents for the advance of the kingdom of Christ. Because we are mandated to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, this just is an illustration or a story from back in the day that we can just read. Okay, yeah, all right, okay, yeah. We always love the two guys that, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, oh, that's me. Is it? It may be. But it's a question you got to ask every single day. Is that me? When I'm to give an account to my master for what he has given me, is he going to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Because the reason he says that is because you have given him interest on what he has given you. He has given you something and it has borne fruit. That is why he will say that. And it may be you, and that's great. But that third guy, the one we don't like to pay attention to, he was a Christian too. He was a servant of the master. And our Lord Jesus Christ looks at this guy and says, you wicked and slothful servant. That's pretty up in your face. You don't want to go to the judgment seat thinking you're a servant of the master and hear, you wicked and slothful servant. Why does God say this to this guy? Why does his master say this? Well, let's go back a little bit. What is the reaction of this guy when he's confronted with, you wicked and slothful servant? What does he do? Does he defend himself? No, I'm not. He doesn't say that. He makes an excuse. Oh, you're a hard man, so I hid it. I was afraid. We are excuse machines. We've got an excuse for everything. You know? Why are you in Mass? Oh, I had a headache. Because this, because that. Why don't you go to Mass? Oh, that church stuff is too much. You know, it's too hard. Same exact words. You're hard, man. I can't deal with that stuff. You need to deal with that stuff. We have to. It's not a suggestion. It's what we need to do. It's a direction. You can't make excuses. I don't want to. I don't talk about the kingdom of God. You know, I go to Mass on Sundays, but I never talk about my faith because I work in an office of fill in the blanks. I don't want to offend them. That's an excuse. All right? The gospel's an offense. That's what it says in here anyway. So, no big deal. Try to church it up as much as you can, but the gospel's a confrontation. You don't get anywhere unless you confront somebody where they are is wrong or deficient. And it is up to us, it is our directive to increase them in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That is the fruit to be born. We cannot make excuses, no matter what it may be. No excuses. Obviously, he will not tolerate them. We got to pay attention to what Jesus says in these things. He does not tolerate excuses. He actually responded, okay, fine, I'm hard. That should have put you on notice. You should have borne fruit for me. If nothing else, you should have been scared of me. Well, what a concept is that, being scared of God. You're not supposed to be scared of God. Wrong. Scriptures, Old New Testament. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. That just means respect. No, it doesn't. It means you know the pecking order. He's a boss. We're not. And even in our secular lives, you know, you got a job. Guess what? You're supposed to do something for your employer. Or you're stealing his money if you don't. This is much more profound than that. We are supposed to bear fruit for God. We work for him. It's called the Great Commission. Okay, that's us. We are directed to advance the kingdom. What did this guy do? Did he commit some evil sin, like did he embezzle the master's money? Nope. Did he take off and do something? Nope. What's the big deal? He buried it in the ground and gave it back to him. It's not acceptable. It is not acceptable, obviously. It is not acceptable for you to receive the graces of Christ and just go, okay, they're mine, I'm good. I'll just take, and I don't give anything back. It's not acceptable to God. Even the illustration, he buried it in the ground. These others, they invested our Lord's treasures, his graces. They invested them. They advanced his kingdom. They increased his riches. What are his riches? Souls. Souls. They advanced the kingdom of God by multiplying souls. I've reconciled you. Now you need to send this message to everybody else and tell them that I will reconcile them also. That is the fruit. What did this guy do? He buried it in the ground. That illustration is much more deep than we think. They just look, okay, buried in the ground. He buried it in the ground. He put it in this world. They are spiritual graces. They are supposed to bear spiritual fruit. They're not supposed to be placed in this world. So like I said about talents before, whether they be intellectual or vocational, whatever they may be, they can't be focused on this world to the negation of the spiritual. It's not bearing fruit. It's buried in the ground. It is of this earth. It's set temporal. And it's not good enough, according to our Lord. As I said, this is not about some illustrative figures of the past. It is a question that we need to ask ourselves. What am I doing with what the Lord has given me? As much or as little as it may be, what am I doing with it? I have to do something with it. This is what flies in the face of our Protestant friends who like to wave the faith alone banner. There is no accountability on their faith. The accountability is works. The end of the Bible tells us that we will be judged by our works, not by our faith. We have to have faith to begin this whole thing. But it's what we do with it afterwards is what Jesus Christ is talking about here. You've had faith. You've received graces. What have you done for me lately? This is a question he poses to us. As I said, we're directed to advance his kingdom. We are directed to bear fruit. Everybody knows the vine and the branches parable, okay? John chapter 15, if you'd like to take notes on that. Any branch that does not bear fruit, I will cut off and cast into the fire. That is all about what we do for Jesus Christ through him. The Holy Spirit has given us graces. What are we doing with them? And it's our life. It's not particular exploits that we do in our life. Haven't seen you in Mass in a few months. Well, you know, don't come down so much on me because I gave a bunch of money to the church 3 years ago when I made a bonus. So, we're not judged on particular exploits throughout our life. We're judged on our life. The fruit that we bear all the time. Again, what have you done for me lately? This is also something that gives us pause. And if you walk away with anything from this today, it's about the sins of omission. You know, I talk to a lot of people a lot of times about you need to get to confession, you need to do this. I've never killed anybody, I don't steal, I'm basically a good person. This servant was basically a good person. But why did, like I said before, he did not steal his master's money. He didn't buy anything bad with his master's money. He just didn't do anything with it. He omitted to do what our sin. This is where we get this concept of the sins of omission. And what's really scary about it, I get this one a lot too. Yeah, you know, I've done my examination of conscience and I haven't done any of these things. Okay, that's great. That should be what we do in the progress of things. But what haven't you done? Because he's looking at somebody who commits a sin of omission and says, you wicked and slothful servant. Idleness is viewed by Almighty God as being outright wickedness. It's as bad as I killed somebody, I committed adultery, I stole. To not do things in God's eyes. To not bear fruit for his kingdom. Because this isn't, hey, I'm waiting here to smite you. That's not the deal here. The deal is here, hey, check yourself. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Because I'm going to ask you this question. Not ask some, again, historical illustrative figure, parabolic figure. I'm going to ask you. Give an account for what I have given you. You're going to have to give an answer. That's all there is to it. You're going to give an account because there is a judgment. Contrary to what we hear a lot now, and I don't care what color hat the person is wearing that says it. I'm sorry, I'm a simple guy, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm going to go with what Jesus Christ says about judgment and hell. He looks at this guy who committed a sin of omission. And he says, cast this worthless servant into outer darkness. No, everybody that's a servant of God goes to heaven because he's merciful. Oh, yeah, he is. He is because he's given us this notice so we can always check ourselves. And we go, I've been a Catholic for 50 years and I really can't think of any fruit that I've ever borne. Fix it. As long as you're taking an error, the fix is there. It's called the confessional. And then move on and start bearing fruit. And you'll be like the servant who showed up at the end of the day. He said, this is my treasure. I'll do what I want with it. Enter into the kingdom of heaven. Nobody can gripe. But he expects a return. Those servants that came out late still went out and worked. Minimal amount of time, but they still worked. They produced something for the landowner. You don't want to be the one that goes, what have you done for? Not cast this worthless servant into outer darkness. It gets worse. You know, that would be bad enough because that's up in your face and pretty explicit. Cast him into outer darkness. But then he goes on to that place where of eternal fire that lasts forever. That's what eternal means. Eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. This place of everlasting punishment. Like I said, I'm just going to put my eggs in what Jesus says about this whole judgment thing. Let these other people who question it, question it. I'm not going there. We are all going to be held to account. All right? We are getting ready to approach Advent season. Advent season is the anticipatory time in which we wait for our Messiah. It is the Catholic New Year. What a better time to start. What a better time to be reflective as you approach it. Because that Messiah that we are waiting, anticipating, that Messiah is going to ask you the question. You personally. You are going to breathe your last at this place, and he's going to look at you and say, give an account for what I've done for you. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.